This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Wednesday, and it's the Podcasters Roundup. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Katie Kremitzis from Tampa, Florida, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 14th, 15th, episode 1652. This episode is brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world!
Everybody up, rise and shine, it's a new day!
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Biz Women Rock podcast. I'm your host, Katie Kremitzos. If you are growing a purpose-driven business, are an action taker, and are strategic about the growth of your business, then this is the podcast for you.
That's right. We heard from Katie. Hey, Katie from Biz Women Rock.
Glenn, what's going on? I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, how long have I known you? Years now, right? And we've been waiting to do a show together for years, and I had to invent one just so we could go host together.
I feel so, so privileged. Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be on it. Never in a million years did I think that I would ever be on a horse show.
That's right. And we're not going to be talking a lot about horses today, but for our horse listeners, we are going to be throwing some Ask the Non-Horse Person questions at our guests today. So you're going to have a lot of fun listening to that. But Katie, we're going to get to know you in just a minute and find out more about what you do and a little bit more about what's going to happen on today's special episode. And Jennifer's going to help us with that.
Coming up on today's horselovers.com Rapid Fire Wednesday edition, we're going to get to know 10 podcasters at about the same rate of speed that Scooter consumes carrots. And then to amp up the fun factor, as Glenn mentioned, each unsuspecting guest is going to have to answer a non-horse person question. And we're going to be creating our longest blooper reel ever. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
See, there's a reason we had you all on today. We were a little short on the blooper reel. And we do, you know, you passed the first test. Is I always screw up what date and episode number it is. And the co-hosts have to figure out that I messed it up on the fly and fix it. And you did perfect.
Thank you. If I was smart enough, I would have read that darn thing a few times beforehand. But no, didn't happen.
It does seem to be a thing that I mess up the opener every single day.
You could have written anything in there, Glenn, and I would have read it.
I do. Sometimes with Jamie, I write Jamie Jennings from Mars, and she'll read it. You know, she just reads what I write.
I'm sorry, Jamie. I'm feeling your pain right now.
And now we've kind of messed with her every day and see if she catches it. Well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning for all of the podcasts. Podcasters listening today that have never heard the show, we are here 5 days a week at 9 a.m. each day. We do it live, but most people still listen to this show recorded. It's been going on for 6 years now. And we're at, as you said, we're at episode 1600. So we've done a few of these over the years, and it's our most popular show here on the Horse Radio Network, 5 days a week, an hour and a half each day, which goes to show those rules you hear about your show has to be 20 minutes long is just crap. Your show has to be as long as you make it interesting for your listeners. So that's rule number one that you'll learn about today. But Katie has a show called Biz Women Rock. Tell us about it.
Ooh. So I have the privilege of having a show that is about 25 to 30 minutes long because my woman listening is a very busy entrepreneur and she is busy growing her business.
And you know your audience. That's perfect.
And I know my audience. I am my audience. And so I do a multitude of things just to be able to bring her some really good education, information, interviews, topic-driven information to help her grow her business. And hopefully I'm a little bit entertaining while I'm doing that.
And I will say that you are. I wouldn't listen. And I do listen. I know I'm not supposed to because I'm,
You are welcome. You're one of the, I'm going to say the 2% of male listeners that I have because business is business. That's what it comes down to. And good information is good information.
That is true. And we're just the opposite. We have 2% male listeners. So we're just the opposite of you. And it is, where can people find your show?
They can find it at bizwomenrock.com and, of course, on iTunes and on Stitcher and all those good places where you normally listen to podcasts.
Why don't you put a plug in, too, for the other things you do for business women?
Yeah, so I really am the leader and the creator of the entire Biz Women Rock community. So it's so much more than just the podcast. So I offer resources like coaching, strategy sessions, all sorts of types of online education programs, and ultimately a community and a very specialized group and membership called the Elite, where women can kind of be surrounded by each other and get access to specialized education that's going to help them grow their business. So it's a lot of fun.
And I do know we have some of our listeners that have actually sought you out for consulting and are so happy with everything that you've done for them.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing what you do for your world.
Well, thank you very much. I love it. I feel the same way you do. Is I feel very like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I get to do this. This is so much fun every day.
And we have a lot of actually listeners who are horse people in business and, you know, trying to grow their businesses. And what you talk about really applies to anybody. You know, it can be in any field, right? It's not limited to one area.
Any field. Yeah. I mean, I have women all over the board as far as what types of businesses they're in, whether they're online businesses, brick and mortar businesses, products businesses, service businesses. The commonality is that they want to grow and they want to grow strategically and intelligently, and they want to do it in a way that makes sense for them, that allows them to build something that is purposeful for them.
Terrific. Well, let's explain how today is going to go. This is kind of a speed round. I don't know that anybody's done a show like this before, so this is going to be kind of unique. We've set it up to have a little fun with it. They have no idea what they're getting into today. And I love that part, by the way. So this is how it's going to work. We have 10 guests coming on. They're all calling in now. I knew that the podcasters would be good at calling in on time. So I knew we could count on them for that. And talking shouldn't be a problem either. You know how you have those guests that give you yes or no answers? We shouldn't have that problem today.
Not going to have that problem at all. As a matter of fact, we may need to cut some people off.
Well, that comes to the rules. All right. Here's how it's going to work. We're going to introduce them. And I'm going to play, actually, I got all their bumpers for their shows, so I'll play you the bumpers. And then they're going to get a minute to tell us about their show. They get a minute of free time where Katie and I shut up. And then they have 5 minutes with Katie and I badgering them. And at the end of that time, we will ask them a non-horse person question. And this is for the benefit of our horse listener, horsey people out there who love when we ask non-horse people horsey questions because they never know the answers. And it's funny for us. It's not funny for you. It's funny for us. So it's kind of at your expense. But we're going to be doing all of that with 10 of them. So this is rapid fire. It's going to go by really quickly today, and it should be a whole lot of fun. So let's get started. What do you say we get started?
Let's do it, man. Bring it on.
Let me just say, though,
roundup.
If they talk too long and they won't shut up, they get this. That means they're done. We're hanging up on them, and we're moving on. All right. I got a couple of buzzers, too. I also have the high school buzzer.
Oh my gosh.
Do you recognize that, Katie?
I think I just need to crawl into the floor right now and like cuddle. That was really scary.
Basketball.
I'm remembering sixth period basketball practice.
Yes. All right. We have Kirsten is coming up first. She is with Create If Writing, and she'll be with us after this.
Can't go back to sleep, it's almost light. These restless thoughts have kept me up again tonight.
Hey there, and welcome to Create If Writing. I'm your host, Kirsten Oliphant, and you are in the right place if you are a writer, blogger, or creative trying to build an online platform without being smarmy.
Kirsten, what's going on, girl?
Oh, Good morning. How are you?
Good, girl. Tell us about your podcast.
So my podcast, as you just heard, is for writers, bloggers, and creatives who want to build online platform without being smarmy. And I get asked a lot what smarmy is. And I feel like when I looked it up, I was like, wait, maybe I redefine this word, because it's basically for people who want to sell things they love without being like that sleazy salesperson or sleazy entrepreneur that sends all those millions of kind of emails that feel you make you feel kind of like gross, you know?
Ick.
So I've got a thriving community. Yes, ick. We don't want to avoid the ick, you know?
Well, I tell you what, I know what smarmy is. Go, Kirsten, go clean a couple stalls. You'll know what smarmy is after you're done. It's just
yeah. Insane. And it's such a fun word to say, too. Smarmy.
Yes.
But a lot of creative people have trouble selling things and making money with their stuff because they feel gross about it. So I'm trying to help them do it in a way that doesn't feel gross and also isn't gross. Not that it just doesn't feel gross, like, but isn't actually, you know, that smarmy way, so that they can feel good about doing what they love and selling what they love.
And you're doing
That's
this through
in a nutshell.
And you're doing this through being able to teach them, like, kind of through the lens of writing, whether that's blogs or whether that's emails or, you know, any type of articles or anything like that, right?
Yes. So my show is, you know, interview based half the time, and half the time it's just me talking. And then I've got emails that I send out weekly with resources and links, as well as blog posts. So, yeah, kind of all the ways. And some people don't even listen to my podcast. They're in the community, like, we hate podcasts. I hope to convert them, because I mean, what's up with that? But, you know, they're there and I'm happy they're there.
I heard a rumor that you have like 85 kids.
I do. It's actually 87, and I'm literally driving in very slow circles around my block so that I can talk on the phone without like the sound of screaming in the background.
These are the hacks of the mompreneur.
It's only five.
You have five children,
yes,
and still
five.
Do a show?
I have five children. I do. I just have really weird hours. Like, people are like, when can we interview? I'm like, so how does midnight sound? And usually that's not okay. So I have to find a babysitter or figure, you know, how to wrangle people. But yes.
Have your kids ever totally interrupted like a live show?
We almost had that happen the other day, Katie, when you and I were talking.
True.
But it was my 8-year-old. So like the frantic, like angry face waving him away was very clear to him. No, I have not. I have had, yeah, no.
You're thankfully doing better
I really
than
do
we do here.
Do if any kids are in the house.
Jamie's, my normal co-host, Jamie, has had her 3-year-old grow up on the show. We've heard him cry and whine. We've heard everything about that child's growing up on the show. So we're kind of used to it here. It's part of life.
Yeah. Well,
right?
I'm not doing a live show. Yes. Live shows are harder than pre-recorded because I can choose my times and then kick all the kids out. So that sounds mean.
You know, the one thing that's easier mean, about a live show, though, is there's no editing. When we're done, we're done. We post it. We're out of here. You know, so it is kind of nice that way.
That's true. A lot less work. There's so much work that goes into podcasting that people do not tell you about. I don't know. I took a course, like one of those free podcast courses. And they're like, you can do a podcast. You'll make $1 million. It takes 5 minutes. And I was like, that was all lies. Lies.
They obviously have not seen Glenn and Jen at work.
Yes.
Something was disconnected there.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into this. But see, all good stuff, though.
Well, now, where can people
find... It is. I wouldn't stop doing it.
Before I ask you the non-horse person question, where can people find your show?
Yes. So you can find me at Create If Writing. It's kind of like creative, but create if you're writing. So I have a lot of non-writer, like primary writer people in my group. CreateIfWriting.com is the best place to connect, and you can find out about our community and everything else we've got going on.
Is it just for writers, though?
No, it's really not. I thought it would be, but it's actually attracted a lot of people who want to do the same kind of thing. You know, I've got some fitness professionals in my group, some bloggers who are doing like homeschool mom type of resources for people. I mean, really a wider variety than I ever would have thought. And I think they're all sort of attracted to this idea of selling the things they love, but feeling good about it, which I think is, again, really a struggle.
Terrific. Well, we're running out of time, so I have to ask you the non-horse person question. How many frogs does a horse have?
Four.
Oh, my God. You've obviously had something to do with horses in the past.
No, come on. That's really right.
That's right.
Come on.
I totally rode horses. Now, I don't remember if I knew. I had this blank moment, and then I was like, Frog, is that on the feet? Is that what you're cleaning out on their feet? Is this right?
Yes.
Now I'm going to be wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. Thank you, Kirsten. It is createifwriting.com. Take care. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
She got that right. I can't believe that.
I can't believe that. One for one.
All right.
I didn't know. I don't know any of these.
Next up, Natalie from Rock Your Trade Show is joining us.
Welcome to Rock Your Trade Show, your podcast for insights, tips, and advice from industry leaders so you can rock your next show.
Natalie, you might win for the most awesome music. Tell us about your podcast, girl.
Hey, Katie. Good morning. I'm super excited to be on the show. Thank you so much. Rock Your Trade Show is a weekly podcast with inspiring interviews with event marketers, influencers, and trade show industry insiders. And we talk a lot about not just trade shows. In fact, it's the opposite. We usually talk about things like personal branding and life balance and how do you progress as a leader within your organization. So it's sort of a 360 approach for women in trade show event marketing. And it helps answer questions like how do they get the right attendee to their exhibit. We also do sometimes talk about trade shows and interactive experiences, making them unforgettable, getting ROI, which is return on your investment, and that work-life balance, because a lot of my listeners travel a lot. So giving them tips and strategies of how to not go crazy when they're on the road.
This is a great idea because trade shows, I don't think people realize how much trade shows cost the vendors that are going to these things. It can be tens of thousands of dollars. And if you waste, you know, the leads that you get, if you're not following up, which by the way, I just read a statistic that 70% of trade show leads are never followed up. That's just unbelievable.
What?
I just read a study.
It actually might be higher.
Really?
It might be higher. Yeah, but actually, I'm at a trade show. I'm at Exhibitor Live, and my whole booth is about how to attract, engage, and connect with the attendee and follow up and get results. So not everybody does that, but I think people at my show, we're all in the same industry, so I think there's lots of follow-up. Too much. We're going to be following up.
Natalie, you've been in this industry for
a... Did you get my email?
Yeah, really. You've been in this industry for a long time. So you've seen sort of, you've been on the show floor for quite a while, right?
Yeah, over 25 years. And I started when I was 5, 10, maybe. Oh, I don't know.
So you're bringing on people onto the show who, are looking to do their own booth at the trade show, or these are people who are, you know, sort of experts in the industry and can give some tips on people who want to learn more how to do that?
It's really about empowering and giving women an opportunity to see where they could go with their careers. So I, for example, had a 6-time CMO on the show from Fortune 500 companies. I've had presidents of organizations like Exhibitor Live. But then last night, I just did my interview, Katie, with an event marketer. So I want to be able to give people a voice and perspective on all the things that they touch. So it's not just, it's a kind of a variety of things that we touch on and people that I have on the show.
You know, I'm so excited that you're actually at a trade show. One of the things I talk to podcasters about in the talks I give is how important it is to attend the trade shows in your niche. And we've been doing that now. I think the Wholesaler Retailer Show, we're going to be at number 16 here coming up. And it is the reason that we are still here today, is making those connections with sponsors and with listeners and with everybody that we meet at those trade shows is so important to the growth of the Horse Radio Network.
It is absolutely. Face-to-face marketing, you cannot replace it. There's no replacing the opportunity to connect with the person that you ultimately want to work with.
And you know, that's a good point, because it is face-to-face, and yet when we started the digital thing, we all thought that that would go away. I think it's more important now than it was 10 years ago.
100%. Yeah, they thought that virtual trade shows was going to replace live trade shows, and actually virtual trade shows really haven't taken off like they thought they would. And getting on the trade show floor and meeting with those people, plus you can meet so many of your target audience. I'm sure you experienced this, Glenn. When you're at an event, you're meeting maybe 20 or 30 or 100 or 200 people in a day, or it could be even thousands that you're meeting in a day that you would never meet. You can't meet 1,000 people in a day.
Right.
Any other place except a trade show.
That is true. Well, where can people hear your show?
Yeah. So I am on iTunes, Rock Your Trade Show on iTunes, on Google Play, and I have a website, rockyourtradeshow.com.
Very good. Well, we're going to ask you the non-horse person question. We're one for one so far.
I'm a little nervous because...
Are you ready?
I'm so ready for this horse question. Let's go.
You're going to love this one. What are stud suds? What are stud suds?
Okay. So I'm going to say it's something to help the male horse get ready.
That is absolutely perfect. It's not correct, but we're going to go with that one. That's much better than the real answer. Thank you, Natalie.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Bye. See you later, Natalie.
Bye.
I mean, these are even funny for me because I don't even know the answer, and they're still funny. I don't know if it's right or not, but it's funny.
Okay, look it up. Google that one, everybody. You're bound to find some interesting answers for that one when you Google it.
No, don't Google. Do not use Google Images. Do not. No. Wrong.
Next up, we have Tina from the Intuitive Woman Podcast.
Tina, that has set the mood for your introduction, girl. How are you?
Oh, hold on. Now Tina's ready. That was my fault.
Sorry. Now come on, girl. Hi, Tina.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hello.
Good.
How are you?
Hi. Tell us about your podcast, Tina.
So excited. So the Intuitive Women Podcast is created out of my passion of having people really connect to their intuition. I found that as I connect to my intuition as a intuitive medium, yoga teacher, sort of all things spiritual, my life has really become very clear and also focused and truly becomes purposeful. So my work beyond the podcast is working with women to create that beautiful life and create that passion with them. So a lot of the work is with them, and the podcast is a platform to allow them to really, you know, enjoy their passion.
Okay, I have a question. Is this something that we can take so that we can finally understand women? Is there that part of it?
Glenn, nothing is going to help you. Sorry, just nothing.
Sorry.
You're out of luck, my friend.
Jeez, I thought I had some hope here, but I guess not.
Yeah. No, but Tina, how long have you been doing this show now?
So I've been doing a live show, and I'm actually launching the Intuitive Women podcast. My original show is Get Into It with Tina Conroy, and that was 3 years. And I've done the show live, and I'm going to do this show live as well. Just I'm moving since PodFest, and I've learned so much moving platforms and doing a little differently, adding a little yoga segment, like a yoga moment, because I find that really amazing to have not only the connection to the breath. And so I'm launching that early April, but I have 3 years of shows under Get Into It with Tina Conroy, and now it's kind of fed into the Intuitive Women podcast.
Now, you do something really creative that I think is fun. You do something, you have a Facebook group, and you do a live at 5. Talk a little bit about that, because it's sort of incorporated into your show a little bit.
Oh, great. Thank you. So my Facebook group is the Intuitive Women Group. It's searchable on Facebook. And every Friday, live at 5 Eastern Time, I go live and I work with people. I do intuitive readings. So Friday morning, what I do on the page is I pull oracle cards. They're similar to tarot cards, but I find the graphics a little bit smoother and softer. They may have angels or beautiful messages. And I turn them face down and everybody starts to comment what card. They ask a question to themselves. And I always say, ask an open-ended question, not like, will Bob marry me? More like, what does spirit want me to know today? And they all comment the cards. And then at 5 o'clock, I go live and I interact with really everybody who's there. And they start asking questions and I tune into my intuitive abilities and I pull cards, and it's gotten very, very popular. It's exciting. No matter where I am, I'm like, live at 5, have to get there, which has been very funny because, you know, trying to be consistent, and sometimes I'm in other places and I'm doing this live at 5, but it's been great. And it really builds community and it builds this connection with everyone.
I love that. And Glenn, I think that Tina said that she would be more than happy to do a live at 5 card reading just for you, for all the Horse Radio Network listeners.
Oh, that should be interesting. We for a long time, we did a once a month episode with a lady who was an animal communicator, and she used to come on and actually do readings for the horses for our listeners. And it was always very interesting and a very popular segment. She got a real job then, and we couldn't have her on anymore. But it was a very popular segment that we did.
Horse readings.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a lot of healers, and I work with Reiki and energy healing. I don't personally work with horses. It's been one thing I've been wanting to do, but I have a lot of students that work directly with horses that are going to stables and are working with energy work. Horses are very intuitive, actually. They're one of the most intuitive creatures and beautiful animals.
Which is why
they
use them for therapy so much. Yeah.
Yes. So, and they love Reiki. They love energy healing. They love essential oils. They're amazing.
Wow.
It is why they use them for therapy so much, is because they are so intuitive and they can really read the person. And if it's somebody that's having trouble, that's why they use it for the returning veterans for post-traumatic stress disorder, and also use it with handicapped, either mentally or physically. Physically, it really works. It really works because the motion of the horse helps the rider, no matter what problem they have. It really is amazing what they do. And dogs, too. Reiki would work for dogs, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, all animals, dogs, cats, most domestic animals when I'm healing or working. Even my daughter the other day had a migraine, and my 19-year-old said, Mom, give me Reiki. And, my dog comes right over. They sense the energy. And that's very similar to horses, dogs, cats, most domestic animals, even birds. But it's a little bit different because it just
depends
on...
Yeah, I don't think Katie's birds are going to react very well. I think they'll attack you.
They're very intuitive, natural creatures. But I have a feeling hands over their bodies will not, might get bit.
All right, Tina, where can people find your show? Where can they go?
So it's tinaconroy.com or the intuitivewomenpodcast.com. And also my show is on Get Into It with Tina Conroy. It's still on iTunes. There's 77 shows there, and I'll be launching the new show very soon.
Very cool. And are you doing that through Blog Talk to do it live?
I'm doing it through Spreaker.
Oh, Spreaker.
Actually,
cool.
I'm switching over to Spreaker.
Oh, yep. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'll be interested. Let me know how that goes.
I love the live content.
Yeah, let me know how that goes, okay?
Will do. Absolutely.
All right, good. Thanks, Tina. Oh, wait a minute. You can't go yet.
We forgot the question.
Thanks, guys.
Ask. Don't go.
Oh, wait.
We have to ask you the non-horse person question. Are you ready? How many hands are in a foot?
Ready.
How many hands are in a foot?
7.
Close enough. My horse would be so much bigger that way. Thank you.
Thanks, Tina.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Hey, Scooter just grew. He's not a tiny pony anymore. Well, all of you horse people out there have been asking for a new coupon code for horselovers.com, and I have it. If you use the coupon code HRN, you'll now get 10% off your next order. That's the coupon code HRN at horselovers.com. Plus, they have a number of exciting things going on right now. And this was so cool. Jennifer and I spent a half an hour surfing around this morning. $100,000 worth of inventory is being sold on their online auction. Now, that's not eBay. It's right on their website. It's their own auction. That's right. They have their own auction, and it has tons of products. products that are going to sell for huge discounts. I have never seen a retailer do an auction on their own site like this, but they have 2 days left. You have until the 17th. Most of them close on Friday. I see Ariat breeches with only $15 bids. They're regularly $100. Cowboy boots that are worth $200 that have $15 bids. Boots, clothing, horse clothing, tack. You don't want to miss this. Head on over to horselovers.com, and there's a big banner at the top of the page for their $100,000 auction. There's 48 pages of stuff. So you're going to want to look through there. You're going to want to place your bids, and you're going to want to make sure you win some of this. Now, the HRN coupon does not apply to the auction stuff because it's already going to be like really, really cheap. Also, right now, they're having a 48-hour snow day sale with deep discounts on turnouts, on blankets, on sheets. You want to make sure you go to horselovers.com every day for all the different specials and things they have going on over there. It's the largest online tack shop in the world, and we're proud to call them a sponsor, horselovers.com. And that's lovers with a Z. Well, while we're waiting for our next podcaster, I wanted to give a shout out to PodFest, the conference that your husband put on, because it is where most of these people came from, and it is what gave me the inspiration to do this show today. You and I got talking a little bit at PodFest and said, what can we do together that would be fun? And that's how this episode was born, and Jamie happened to be off this week, so it was perfect. But he did a great job. What an amazing time PodFest was.
Yeah, it was the only word I can use to describe it that is close to encapsulating what it was is it was just magical. It was the right people who are so passionate about sharing their messages through a podcast, whether they're about to do it or whether they've been doing it for a decade. And all of those people in the room, you just can't go wrong. So it was so well done. The education was crazy amazing. And just loved giving hugs to everyone. That's always my favorite part.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? What I was hoping is last year there were 100 and some people. This year, almost 500 people. So it grew like five times what it was last year. And the hotel was beautiful. Everything was just neat. But what it kept was that family feeling that we have with the Florida Podcasters Association, which is really the impetus, the baby of all of this and how it all started. And that group has such a bond. And that group stepped up to make everybody else feel welcome. They were really going out of their way to introduce themselves to new people that were coming from out of the area. And I think that's what makes this conference, the PodFest conference, so special.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what often does not get discussed or really is even noticeable is that Chris, my husband, who is the founder of PodFest, you know, he's been running meetings, whether it's been two people or, you know, 1,000 people, he's been running meetings for almost a decade now. And so he's learned all the little intricate tricks of how to get people to feel intimately connected, no matter how many people are in the room. And so it was just a massive engineering of all of that and making sure the speakers were really on the same page with all of the attendees, making sure people were connecting in all sorts of different ways. So everything that everyone experienced was very deliberately planned out. And I'm just so happy that everything went off without a hitch. It was so special.
Now that doesn't, Chris may have done 1,000 conferences like this in the past, but that doesn't stop Chris from being stressed out all the time, the whole show.
Well, you know, he's also a perfectionist. And so he wants everything to, this is what's great and frustrating about him. He wants everything to be perfect. And most importantly, because he wants the attendees to have this stellar, out of this world, mind blown experience. And that's partially why it ends up being that for everyone is because he's so perfectionistic about how all the little things get put together to make that happen.
Well, he is. And he really does a good job with that. Does he want you to be perfect all the time, too? Because that could be a problem in a marriage, by the way.
That's another podcast conversation. let's just say both of us have done a lot of work to be able to be really hard drivers and really want to do really great things and also be like human at the same time.
Two type A personalities don't always go well together, and you two definitely are, but you make it work, so that's cool. By the way, I wanted to ask you, while we're waiting for our next guest here, what are your top two podcasts? What are the two that you look forward to and don't miss every week?
You know, that's a great question. If you would have asked me that 2 years ago, I would have said, like, I am one of those rare breeds that actually don't listen to podcasts. But I do listen to podcasts. And probably the one I listened to most recently a lot is Meditation Oasis. And I found that's one of the first podcasts that I found. I don't even think she really produces it anymore. And it is, it's just meditation. I listen to it quite often, a couple times a week to go to sleep or just to relax or what have you. So I listen to that one. And oh my gosh, I'm thinking about like five others right now. Serial, I was a big fan of that for both seasons. Really looking forward to the third season. So it totally depends on what mood I'm in.
Have you heard what the third season's going to be? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
I don't know either. I was trying to narrow it down to two, and I don't think I can. My favorites are School of Podcasting, obviously, with Dave Jackson. I don't miss that.
Dave,
and,
yeah.
And I learn something every week, and I love that show. The second one, he's coming up, that I look forward to every Thursday morning. If he's late, I'm going to kick his ass. And that's Mighty Blue on the Appalachian Trail. He's coming up. Steve will be here shortly, and I do not miss his show. And we've turned a lot of our listeners onto his show as well. And then there's a third one I listen to, and that's Bob and Cherry Show, which is a nationally syndicated radio show that they put out on podcasts. They're 4 hours every day, and after commercials it's about 10 minutes, but you know, they take all the commercials out and it's about 2 hours, and I don't miss that show. I listen to it every day, and it's actually the Bob and Cherry Show is what we designed Horses in the Morning after was their show.
Really?
And if you take a look at Bob and you take a look at Cherry, you know, Jamie and Cherry are a lot alike in many ways. So I actually found a co-host that was kind of like Cherry. I'd like to say I'm a little better than Bob, but I don't know about that. But, well, I don't know.
Bob,
Jennifer might have an opinion on that, too. but that's how this show was designed, is really after the Bob and Cherry Show. So those are my favorites right now, and ones I do not miss.
Dude, how do you listen to a four-hour show every week?
Well, it's only 2 hours. I have to take out all the commercials, so because I still listen to it every day. I don't miss that show. It's funny and entertaining, and it's my break from having to think. I listen to Bob and Cherry.
Got it.
So, yep. And then I shower with Dave every Monday morning, and I shower with the next guy, Steve, every Thursday morning. That's right. Every Thursday morning, I am hanging out with Steve. He is Mighty Blue on the Appalachian Trail.
Mighty Blue on the Appalachian Trail, the ultimate midlife crisis. Join Steve and his guests every week as he staggers from Georgia to Maine.
Steve, I hope that you're actually still here after hearing that you shower with Glenn every morning.
Yeah, and good luck with kicking my ass, Glenn, by the way.
Steve, yeah,
it might be a bigger target than it should be, but
Steve is a little bit bigger than I am. So,
yeah, really, watch out, Steve. Tell us a little bit about your show.
Yeah, it came about. I decided in 2013 to hike the Appalachian Trail. Sold my business and went hiking, never having hiked in my life, or even sort of slept in a tent. I was 61, I think, clinically obese, and just went hiking, and I completed the whole thing, wrote a couple of books, and I kind of stayed on the trail, and I thought a podcast was the next progression. So I got the music and the artwork from Fiverr, which was nice and cheap, listened to Dave Jackson, and luckily Glenn found the show pretty quickly and really encouraged me to be consistent with it, which I think is probably the biggest tip for anybody who's doing a show. And we interview hikers every week, people who've either done the trail or want to do the trail or are in the middle of doing the trail. And one thing that I was lucky with, at the end of each episode, I read out a chapter from my book, which means that most people, when they come to the end of the podcast, they hear chapter 25 and they think, oh, I better go back to the beginning. So 40% of all my downloads every day are for the back episodes. So it's going pretty well right now.
I got to tell you, I'm going to jump in here. Katie, you know as well as I do, there's business people that just have good intuition.
Yeah.
And there's podcasters with good intuition. And Steve has that intuition. He had it from episode one, like brilliant, putting a chapter every episode, every week at the end of the episode, at the very end after the music, he reads a chapter of his book. I listen to the end of every episode to get to that chapter of the book. He has just had good intuition the whole time. And that's not true of all podcasters. So good on you, Steve, for just having it. It really is a good show.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate that. And you know, it was lucky, really, just because it started out trying to do an audio book. But then I thought, well, I can turn this into a podcast. And that's worked out great. And we're going to have over 10,000 downloads this month, which amazes me.
Wow.
And I'm kind of shocked with it and kind of don't really know what to do with it next. But it's been a lot of fun to do.
Steve, who do you find is listening to your show? Are these people who are all interested in actually going and hiking the Appalachian Trail, or is it something bigger than that?
Well, a lot of people vicariously hike through my guests. And
that'd be me.
One thing I learned, I learned this very much from you, Glenn, to try to engage with your audience. And so much so that, you know, some of these people who don't hike or just do one or two sort of day hikes are coming hiking with me and a bunch of other guys in July. Four or five of our listeners are coming on the trip with me. We're doing a 7-day hike, and really it's just people who've either been on the trail or wanted to be on the trail or read a few books about it, and they just engage all the time, and they write to me regularly and try to help out and find me new guests who they know. So it kind of spreads organically by my listeners telling me who I ought to interview. And I then have a conversation with those potential guests, and I come up with my idea of an agenda, which is basically the narrative that I want to tell to get from point A to point B, hitting point C in the middle of it. And that seems to work out fine. Then I introduce extra things, once again, with a recommendation from Glenn to introduce a product review. I did that a few times as well.
I got to jump in again. Sorry, Katie.
That's all right.
There's a couple lessons here, too, that I'm going to do a Dave Jackson here. I'm going to interrupt the show. I'm going to interrupt the interview for the couple of lessons. You know your audience, and you have a niche that you understand because you've been there. You hiked all 2,200 miles of it at the age of 61, so you probably know it more intimately than most. But you understand the culture. You understand the people. You understand what they want to listen to while they're hiking. And I think that is so important. I keep telling everybody that's starting a podcast, you got to find a niche, and you got to niche it down even further. And you did. You started on the Appalachian Trail, but you could do a dozen podcasts in a hiking network about every part of the world. So you just, that is so important. What you did, you've done right, and it's obviously connecting because you're getting feedback early on in a podcast that nobody gets, that all podcasters dream about, and you got it right away because you know your audience.
I appreciate that. I really do. You know, I listen to people and I try to sort the wheat from the chaff. I listen to Dave every single week as well. I don't agree with everything he says, but then I try to make what works for me work. And, you know, I love the whole thing. I get such moving emails, Glenn, which is such the best thing. You get something from somebody who says, you got me out of my chair and got me hiking, which is mind-blowing to me. Just because they're listening to me. And I love that part of it. The audience interaction is getting better and better all the time.
Steve, I can imagine that you could probably talk on a podcast about walking over fire and pins and needles, and people will do it with that accent. So, you know, I think you got that working for you.
Well, the funny thing about that, it never worked in the UK.
Of course it seems
to work in America, but not in the UK.
There's a reason that NPR has all their voiceovers done by British people. There's a reason.
How is that right?
Yeah. National Public Radio, well, and they're all British accents. Yeah.
Well, in the UK, all the TV channels, all the anchors are Scottish because the Brits like the Scottish accent better.
See, it's like the outsider, like it's the sexy, like, you know, non-native voice. You got to have that. It adds a little bit of like mystery to it.
Well, Steve, where can people find your show?
My find it on iTunes or Stitcher or straight to my site, which is mightyblueontheat.com. That's Mighty Blue, which is obviously MIGHTYBLUE on the AT. .com.
And I highly recommend for this podcast especially, you go back to episode one. Don't even start with the most recent one. Go to episode one and start from there. And the reason I recommend that, one, is it's all relevant information. It's not timely. And two is you'll get the book in order. And that's, I highly recommend that. Steve was kind enough. He sent me both copies of the book, Katie, and I have not read them. I refuse to read them because I want to hear him read them at the end of each episode. So
isn't that nice?
Yeah. Wow. So, Steve, I have one question for you. Non-horse course and question. Are you ready? Now, keep in mind, this is a PG show, and I don't want iTunes rating it explicit, okay? So, this Jennifer put this one just for you, too, Steve. What is a good rack?
This is face in which palm particular moment term? Right now.
It's a horsey question. What is a good rack?
Oh, a good rack. Is that somewhere where the horse feeds? I don't know. I could not.
We're going to stick with that because I'm afraid of any other answer you might give. So we're just going to stick with that.
Good guess.
Bye, Steve. Thank you.
Bye, Steve.
Cheers. Take it easy. Bye. Okay.
He's a good guy. I got to have lunch with him at the Podfest.
Now, should people go to Google Images to look up good rack? I mean,
yeah, you can do that too. Look it up with the same as stud suds and see what you find. Yeah, that'll make for a nice afternoon entertainment. All right. Next up is somebody that I met and absolutely fell in love with. Actually, I think everybody that met her at Podfest fell in love with her. Her name is Jemmy. She has the Curve of the Cube podcast.
Curve the Cube will now initiate.
Woo! That intro will wake you up. Hi, Jenny!
Oh, wait a minute. My fault again. Paying attention everywhere.
Come on. I am the newbie here, not you. Jenny, what's going on, girl?
Hi, Katie. Hi. Oh, gosh. Everything wonderful this morning. Hi, guys. Hi, Glenn. Hi, Katie. How are you both?
Good. Jenny, that's a great intro. Tell us a little bit about your show.
All right. So Curve the Cube is designed to encourage people to stop living in the daily rut of life and pursue their passions. So whether full-time, part-time, as a hobby, I just believe everybody has a passion and a talent. It's something that jazzes them up and makes life worth living. And we should all pursue that. So I talk to people who are doing that. I call them curvists, who have broken out and around obstacles to pursue their thing, to inspire others to do the same.
Now, this is based in Miami, right? You're down in Miami area?
Close, about an hour north in Palm Beach County.
Okay, and is this focused? Are a lot of your guests, I noticed, are from that area, is that right?
They are, because I try to make it really super conversational, make my listeners almost feel like they're in the room. And I like that I can put a spotlight on a lot of the talent down here in South Florida, but I am expanding it a bit. I just happen to like to have in-person conversations. So a lot of my people, yes, are right here in my area.
You know, I think that's great, actually, because I think local, one of the things we learned at Podfest is that local, I think, is where, one, the most, that podcasts are going to do very well in the future that are local, sort of like the one Helena does, that Newport show about Newport, Rhode Island. And I also think they're going to be the most profitable because they have more opportunities for local sponsors. And those sometimes are easier to get. So I don't know. I think local is going to be a place where that people want to look to in the future.
Hey, you said it, Glenn. So let's bring the profits more my way. Let's keep it local.
We're going to help you with that, Jemmy. We're going to help you with that part. Now, so what has been your most interesting interview that you've had on the show that either one was just blew you away or threw you for a curve or what would you answer that?
Oh my gosh. When I get asked this question, I have every time I get asked this question, the answer is different because something else new pops in my head. But I have to say probably the most interesting by far was actually a Vox Pop episode I did. I think it was number 104 maybe, where I went on the street and interviewed people who were protesting. And I wanted to find out how the political scene was impacting their American dream, and kind of took my general concept of the show on a larger scale umbrella level. And it was a really impactful episode. A lot of people still comment to me about that one.
Wow, that's a cool idea. Now that, see, and that's a lot of the incorporation that you can do locally too. If you have that, is like get out on the street, go start talking to people. That's one thing that a lot of podcasters forget, is that get out of your studio, go talk to people live. You know, if you're at a trade show, if you're at, you know, somewhere else, just get this noise in the background and start getting people talking. Did you have a good reception from the people that you were interviewing, or were they sort of like surprised by you because you didn't have like major media cameras around you?
Well, I was kind of surprised by Jemmy when I met her first too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
she's a little bit of an awesome tornado coming yes. at you.
And I have to apologize because Katie is one of the people who had to deal with my semi-hyperventilating state after I spoke with you, Glenn. I totally ran into her in the bathroom and just like, Katie, I just talked to Glenn. Oh my gosh. And I had a complete meltdown. So thank you, Katie, for being
yeah,
here.
I ran up. I was like, oh my God, are you okay? Do you need oxygen? Like, what's going on? Are you going to take a faint? I really
yes
was like,
and yes.
Concerned for your health.
Most people have that reaction, but for a totally different reason, Jemmy. It's right.
So that was probably the second most entertaining and interesting episode for me, was just because it was pivotal to talk to so many greats in the industry like you. It was awesome.
Now you have another business too, right? You actually have is it a social media business?
Well, it's digital marketing. So I help build websites and run social media campaigns and just generally build up someone's online reputation and presence. And I'm now laser focusing that on podcasting in kind of two ways. I think podcasting can be great for people to get extra content of their own out there. And I also think that, you know, if I can use my marketing skills to help more podcasts grow and become more known, you know, that's better for all of us.
Very good. Well, you can find Jemmy at curvethecube.com. That's curvethecube.com is where you'll find all the information. And now it's time for you to answer the horsey question by a non-horse person. Are you ready?
Can I tell you, wait,
yes?
Glenn, I'm so jealous I didn't get Steve's question because my answer would have totally been the best rack is one full of wine.
That's pretty good,
oh my
actually.
God.
That's pretty good. I like that answer. Okay, well, your question is, what is a half pass? What is a half pass?
A half pass is when someone says they're buying you a ticket to the movie, but really they just want you to come with them and expect you to buy the other ticket. So that's a half pass. And then there's a horse involved somewhere. I don't know.
Sounds like she's had that date a few times.
Maybe not.
Bye, Jemmy. We'll talk soon.
Bye, Jemmy.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
She is a trip. Oh, my God. There is nobody at PodFest that had more energy than her.
Seriously. I mean, just like this bolt of lightning in the room.
She made you and I look like we were sleeping the whole time. I mean, she...
And I like to consider myself a little bit full of energy, and that girl just whoosh.
She really did accost you in the bathroom after she died.
No joke. I really was like, oh my God, are you okay? Because she was hyperventilating. She's not over-exaggerating. And I was like, are you okay? Oh my God, I just talked to Glenn. And I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those conversations. Never mind, I'm out of here.
I don't want to talk about him again.
I mean, he usually takes women's breath away, but not like this.
They're usually throwing up in the bathroom. All right. We have to hear from one of our terrific sponsors. We're coming back with Ramona. Talk about taking breath away. When she gets on stage, everybody listens. Fairfield Inn and Suites North by Marriott Lexington is the ideal hotel for you, as they are the closest hotel to the Kentucky Horse Park. They have the most spacious guest rooms and suites in the area, and they're only 4 miles from downtown Lexington. Fairfield Inn and Suites North offers complimentary breakfast, free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel, free parking, a business center, an indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi, an outdoor patio with grill, laundry facilities, and much more. You get hungry, Cracker Barrel is located right next door, and there are 4 other dining options available within walking distance for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, Lexington is known for the Kentucky Horse Park, University of Kentucky, Keeneland, and the historical Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Enjoy a terrific hotel experience while you're touring Lexington. There's no denying that the Lexington North Fairfield Inn & Suites is the best value in town and will meet all your hospitality needs. Just Google Fairfield Inn North Lexington and make your reservations today.
running a day spa is all massages and relaxation?
There is nothing relaxing about owning a day spa.
But we're here to help. Siri Spa owners know that being in the spa business isn't for the weak.
It takes hard work, planning, and just a bit of luck.
We should know because we've owned a successful day spa for over 20 years. Now we're opening up our playbooks and giving you the business insights to run your day spa rather than letting it run you. This is a Spapreneur podcast with Lynn Graves and Ramona Rice.
Ramona, welcome to the show, girl.
Hi, I don't know if you guys can hear, but of course, Jess is coming on air. The doorbell rings and the dogs are going nuts. I'm like, come on, really?
I thought the dog was integrated into that intro that you had. I was like, okay, that's pretty good. I got that. Well done, girl.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Podcasting.
Exactly. Ramona, tell us a little bit about the Spapreneur.
All right, Spapreneur is an idea I came up with my mom. We've owned a successful day spa in our local area for 20 years. Highly successful. She went from one massage room the size of an average conference room. Now we have a 4,000 square foot day spa in over 20 years. And so we've noticed that, unfortunately, the industry is going a lot of franchise rather than independent. So we want to kind of help those independents stay alive and be profitable and stay in the game.
Ramona, this is not your first podcast. This is what, like your first, second, third? I think this is about your third or fourth podcast. But you're kind of newish to podcasting in the past like couple of years, I think. So why do you love podcasting so much? Why has this been a platform that you've really like dove headfirst into?
You know, it's weird. I discovered podcasting accidentally in April 2015. 6 weeks later, I had a show about sports. And I've had another comedy show, now a Spapreneur. And I think what I love is it's just an authentic voice that if you allow yourself to be open and vulnerable, and it really lets you be very intimate with an audience very quickly. And it doesn't matter if it's a small audience or a very large one, you're going to reach people that need to hear your message. And there's nothing like the intimacy of someone putting earbuds in there, literally inside them, to listen to your voice and listen to your message.
Hey, Ramona, I have a show idea for you. Can you have Glenn come up to your spa, get a mani-pedi, and then do like a live interview with him while he's doing it? I think
that'd be the first time I ever had one. So,
oh my God, yes. Let's do that. Here's the thing. Our spa has a private nail suite. So it actually only has two people that can be in there at the same time. So Katie, you should come up with him.
Oh, that'd be funny.
That'd be awesome.
Dude, only if Glenn gets like the mask on his face and the cucumbers on his eyes. That's it. And then it's like game over.
Yeah. I still want him to wear his hat. As long as he wears a cowboy hat at all times, then yes.
Oh my gosh. Hey, Ramona, Glenn was asking me this before, and I'm curious for you again, because you seem to be like really established in the podcasting industry. What is the one of your favorite podcasts to listen to?
Oh, I love Modern Love. It is a podcast by the New York Times and Boston Public Radio. And I love it because they've taken this column in the New York Times called Modern Love that people write about all different aspects of love. And they have really famous actors read them, and they have music. And then they do follow-ups with the people who actually wrote it to see what happened afterwards and what happened as a result being in the column. So I love it because it's repurposing content. It's so beautifully done. And they're about 20 minutes, which is just perfect for whatever I'm driving around now.
I love that. I think there's so many amazing podcasts out there. Have you had like a big challenge in podcasting other than the dog barking in the background? Anything like random and funny happened, or just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this has happened because of the podcast?
You know what, for me, because my podcasting journey has been so different than most people's, because it was accidental, and then I had a major life change in the middle of podcasting, and what it allowed me to do is just really create, I think, a strong sense of community that's worldwide, that no matter where I am in the world, I have people that are awake that will listen to me, and that's crazy when you think about it, when you think about just in the last 2 years that my circle has grown so big, and that's because of podcasting, so that's the one kind of like accidental like, yay moment. And then just trying to explain to the tiny humans that if mommy's in the closet, please leave her alone. She can get done with recording.
You know, we joke about that, but I cannot believe the number of podcasters that are actually in the closet, literally doing their podcasts. That you do yours in the closet?
Yes, I do. So I actually went on a massive road trip with the kids this summer for about 2 weeks, and we live with my parents. And so my mom actually redid my bedroom, and she actually finally put in a proper desk. I'm in the closet now, proper desk with like drawers and things so I can actually work in here. But before, I just had like the laptop on a computer, and they like jerry-rigged the mic stand. I mean, it was really just kind of like just the craziest setup you've ever seen. But now I have like, it's like a proper office. We're close.
I hope it's a walk-in closet, not the kind that we have, because otherwise it's going to be a little
tight. It's really tiny in there.
It's going to be tight.
Yeah, no, it is a walk-in closet. It's cedar-lined. This is originally...
oh, it smells good, too.
...in Las Suite that I live in. Yeah, so it smells good. The acoustics are really great, and I'm kind of known for it now. So I'll do, like, webinars with podcast websites, and people, like, they get mad if I don't do them in the closet. Like, they want to see what clothes are in the background, and every once in a while I'll change it up to show, like, random things, you know. So it's fun, and it just goes to show you that you can podcast anywhere. Like, you can find a place in your house, no matter how crowded it is, to get started with podcasting. So don't make that an excuse.
Well, we have a few minutes before our next guest. I wanted to ask both of you, one of the changes that I've seen since we started 9 years ago now, 6,300 episodes ago, was it was just guys like me and Dave Jackson, the really nerdy guys who were, and the tech weenies who were doing podcasts back then, and the gamers. That was it. I mean, it was just us guys, but in the matter of fact, Jennifer made a comment this morning when she looked at the lineup. She said it's mostly women today. And that Woo-hoo! Is something that's been a change, what, in the last 2 years, right, Katie?
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm an expert on women in podcasting, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of amazing women out there launching or, you know, being the leaders of these podcasts in all sorts of different industries. And I would bet Ramona sees a lot of that too.
Yeah, and I think what's happened is that the technology has gotten easier. You're having more services again. Like, I work for podcast websites. It's an all-in-one service. So people who are coming in don't have to now a la carte everything. Like, you had to go in. You know, you really had a learning curve that isn't there anymore. Like, pretty much you can, you know, buy a service like this or another service. There's a bunch of them out there now where literally all you have to focus on is plugging in your microphone and recording. And yeah. I think that's been the game changer, is that finally there are services like that that are handling this editing and all the other stuff that people don't want to do or don't want to learn how to do. And so it's allowing this industry to kind of open up to other people. And it's interesting. Sometimes I feel like people are really welcoming with that. And then I've seen, like, you know, in podcasting groups that there's a lot of, like, I call my technical kind of bros that are just like, no, you need to, like, do it like we did. And I'm just going, no, it's great that we have so many options now.
Oh, jeez, yeah. You young whippersnappers don't know what we've been through.
No.
You know, I look at it. You're absolutely right, though. I look at it now and I go, oh, my God, this is so easy compared to when I started. Ugh.
Jeez.
One other thing, the other thing that's easier is people know how to listen now. They didn't know how to listen then. We were in the constant teaching them how to listen phase. That's the other big difference. So go ahead, Katie. Sorry.
Very true.
I was just going to say, you know, I work with so many businesswomen and who want to incorporate a podcast as a part of their business, and they don't want to deal with the intricacies of the tech and all the like how to, they want to be able to come and speak on the mic and then be done and have a podcast go out. And yeah, as Ramona said, there's so many great services out there that can help pick up the slack for what that needs to be afterwards.
And at a very affordable price, you know, you don't have to break the bank doing it either.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just one of those things where I think that we're at a crux in an industry where you're going to see more and more people like me who accidentally discover this and go, oh, this is fun. And now the technology isn't so overwhelming, you know, that it opens it up to so many people. And I think that's a great thing.
Well, now we can find your show where?
Spotpreneur.com. It's, of course, an iTunes, Stitcher, all the podcast apps. There's a blog, and it's a funny show. It's a business show, but it's my mother and I. So we tell all kinds of stories about the day spa. And it's like two girlfriends talking, it's fun to do the show with my mom. It's the first time that I've had a co-host that's live in person. Like, we're both in the closet together, recording the show. And it makes me giggle when I think about it. And it'll make you blush, some of the stories.
Well, I gotta tell you, I bet you you have stories about people who have come in a spa. That's gotta be interesting.
Lynn and Katie, I gotta tell you, people kind of lose their minds when they have to get undressed and relaxed. And then all of a sudden they forget, like, oh, wait, I have to act like a human being. You'd be surprised. It's amazing.
By the way, we're going to have links to all of the shows. One, they've been going up on Facebook on our Horses in the Morning page all morning. So there's links to every show we're talking about on our Facebook page. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And in our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com for today's episode, they'll be there as well. Thank you, Ramona. Oh, we didn't ask Ramona a question.
Wait, forget. Yeah. Yeah, this is the very important question. This is a non-horsey question. Go ahead, Glenn.
Are you ready?
Oh, okay.
What is posting in the horse world? What is posting?
Oh, posting. I think it's when, I'm assuming it's when, like, you get ready to do, is it when you jump? When you're, like, jumping over the thingies? You know? Or are you getting ready to, like, do the race? I don't know.
Yes, that all sounds awesome.
Excellent guess. Wrong, but an excellent guess.
Yeah, excellent guess. That is correct. It's when you're getting ready to jump over the thingies. That's right. Thank you, Ramona.
Bye, Ramona.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
All right, next up. We are heading, finally, another guy. It's full of women today. I'm telling you, it's all women in podcasting now. You know what? I have, 30 co-hosts, and most of them are women. So we're heading now to Bruce with Now Hear This Entertainment.
Everybody says you gotta play it safe. Just take your time.
Bruce Wozniak, how are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning. I would imagine with a podcast called Now Hear This Entertainment, which features a lot of independent music artists, that you would have an amazing music intro just like that.
Well, I'm lucky because I get to have different intro music every week on my podcast because I always play music by that week's guest, so I get to hear, and the listeners get to hear loads of different music all the time. It's awesome. Lots of fun.
I love that. Give us a little bit more information about your podcast.
So every week on Now Hear This Entertainment, I'm talking to a guest that's having success in the entertainment industry. The overwhelming majority of the time, it's someone in the music business, but I've gone off track a little bit sometimes to bring in people from the music business just to present different insights into things like publishing or the recording studio environment or even radio, just to give people a different view on other elements so it's not performance, 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 week after week after week, or songwriters, things of that nature.
Bruce, what I love about your show is that it features people who are, you know, making a business through their music and through this industry, and they're not the super top 40 pop stars. So these typically are not the people who have this massive light shined on them all the time in the media, but they're doing what they love and they're making a living out of it. That's really powerful.
Exactly. And why I launched it was I wanted to give a voice to those people, and I know that they always are so appreciative of the opportunity to get some promotion. But at the same time, like you said, I didn't want to chase after the world-renowned superstars that the listeners are going to say, I can't relate to this person. They're a multimillionaire that's known around the world. And for the up-and-comers who listen to the show, I wanted them to be able to say, okay, what these people are doing, that's achievable. Like, these are goals that I can set and meet, and it's not unrealistic for me to get booked at these better venues or to get my music placed in film and television or to fund my next album entirely through crowdfunding. So these are all very tangible goals, and they're people that are relatable. And they are people, as you said, Katie, that are having success in the music business, even though they're not household names.
I got to thank you, Bruce, because that song actually that you heard, Face the Fires, was by Rhythm Rampage, and you hooked us up with them because they're horse girls, and we had them on the show last week, and they were a lot of fun, and you know, they had a story to tell, too, that was quite inspiring for horse people. You know, it is so tough now, and I'm so glad there's podcasts like yours out there, because in the entertainment world, especially in the music side, it is so tough now to make a living. The numbers have all dropped as far as what they make off their songs, wherever they're played. It's just a whole different world, and they have to hustle a little harder, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I always point back to one of the episodes in the first 10 of Now Hear This Entertainment, where the guest was talking about what he referred to as the new economy, and basically saying that no one out there is really just doing, say, being a recording artist. They're all doing other things. And as I mentioned a minute ago, Katie, you know, about people needing to know different aspects of the business. And so, yes, Glenn, you're right. It is so difficult for them to just try to make a living off of people downloading their music. There's no real big, huge record deals being handed out anymore. And so they have to find some of these different outlets, some of these different avenues where they can make money and still have music as their full-time career, but it's not going to be through just sales of music.
Okay, so Bruce, this then warrants the question of, if you are really featuring all these people, do you sing? Are you singing on your show?
No, I think the listeners would stop listening if I sang on my
Darn,
show.
Darn, I was going to ask for a song, too.
Oh, I'd be happy to sing, but your listeners would be happy to tune out, Glenn.
Jamie sings all the time. They're used to tuning out. So now, Bruce, let me ask you, following up on what we just talked about, have you seen, because I'm fascinated by this, have you seen a decrease? Are people less motivated to try and become musicians, or has that just not stopped them and they're going for their dream anyway?
No, actually, Glenn, because of the way that things have changed, where it is so favorable to be an independent artist these days, more and more people are, sorry for the cliche, chasing their dream, because you can record at home. You can put out music independently. You don't have to wait for a $50,000 budget to go into a professional recording studio in Nashville. You don't have to wait for Sony Music to come and offer you a big record deal. You can do so much on your own that people are still being very goal-driven and saying, I'm going to put out my music, and I hope people will buy it, but I'm going to work hard to get myself booked wherever I can perform. And there's so many more doors that open because of, and probably every guest you've had on today has said this, but because of the internet and the ability to distribute, not podcasts in this case, but to distribute music.
Bruce, what's been one of the biggest challenges that you've had as a podcaster? Because you've been podcasting about as long as I have, for about 3 years. So what's a big challenge you've had?
Well, I would say that, you know, I heard you with the last guest saying how we used to have to educate people how to listen. And I actually do still find that's the case. You know, I do find myself stopping, and all of a sudden I will ask, if I'm speaking somewhere in public, I will stop and I will say, how many people here know what a podcast is? It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. Raise your hand. And, you know, you'll see people, you know, that fortunately it's not as many as we used to see. But, you know, for those people to have the courage to say, I still don't know what it is. And then, you know, it kind of humbles you and you say, wow, here I am chasing all these things so aggressively for my podcast. And mind you, I'm really proud of the fact that I've gotten listeners in 125 countries around the world to now hear this entertainment. But when you hear people that still aren't really sure, and these are people that you want to reach, and you say, okay, I need to take a step back and maybe kind of come back to fundamentals a little bit and tell people, this is how to do it. I was asking someone, where do you listen? And he said, well, I tried to find you on Stitcher Radio. I know you're on there. And I could tell that he was a little reluctant to go much further with it. So, you know, I'm not afraid to do the hand-holding and make sure that people can listen to it, because I do have it on so many platforms. I want to make sure that they realize that it's a lot easier than they think.
All right, you can hear Bruce's show, NHTE.net, NHTE.net. It's Now Hear This Entertainment, if you're searching for it. Bruce, your non-horse person question. All right, it is, what is a Twitch?
What is a Twitch?
Yes.
Well, it's something that I get in my eye a little too often, and I get very embarrassed by it. But
perfect. That's a great answer. I think that's
in the horse world. I would think that the same would apply. I would think that horses might get a Twitch.
Well, it depends what you're doing. Yes, a lot
natural.
Of them do. So, thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you both. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Well, I am heading next week. Speaking about going to conferences and shows, we are heading for the fourth time to Road to the Horse, the World Series of colt starting competitions in the world. Let's hear about that. And then we're coming back with Amanda. I'm a little concerned about Amanda actually being on my live show, to be honest.
So ready.
Yeah.
So ready.
Okay, good. still worried. Road to the Horse is right around the corner, and the Horse Radio Network is proud to once again be the premier radio network covering the event with Horseware as our title sponsor. On March 23rd to March 26th, four of the finest female trainers in the world will gather in the world's leading colt starting competition. With the help of my amazing, knowledgeable co-host Tara Carter, we will bring you all the action from ringside at the Kentucky Horse Park. Listen live or recorded to Horses in the Morning on Friday the 23rd and Saturday the 24th at 9 a.m. And then, for the second time, we will be bringing you the only free coverage of the finals on Sunday the 25th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. The best way to listen is on the Horse Radio Network app. Just go to iOS or Android app stores and search Horse Radio Network or visit horseradionetwork.com. Thanks to all our terrific sponsors for making this happen. Horseware, Cashel Products, Cavallo Boots, Horse Lovers, and Enjoy Yums. Visit roadtothehorse.com to learn more. Well, the one thing, this is so appropriate, because the one thing that's served and drunk a lot by the cowgirls and cowboys at Road to the Horse is beer. And we have Amanda coming up next from the Great Beer Adventure.
Amanda, it is about time that I get to be talking to you over podcast, which means I get to have a beer. What's up, girl?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Okay, we've got beer, we've got podcast, which means it's going to be amazing. Tell us a little bit more about your podcast.
All right. I first want to start by saying that I'm a little offended. Come on, Glenn. I am a classy lady. I'm not going to ruin Horses in the Morning.
I saw you for 3 days with the beer strapped to your body.
Glenn, that should have got you really like happy.
That doesn't
Come
mean
on.
I'm not classy.
Dude, that is the epitome of class. What are you talking about? A woman truly like in her zone.
She knows her niche.
Exactly. Yes, I normally have beer attached to my body, but it's in a classy leather-clad way. I mean, what could be more appropriate? My show actually goes out and I talk about all the different things in the beer industry. There's so much creativity and passion, and I really like exploring it. I have an insatiable curiosity, and I just want to know more. And I really just want to introduce everybody out there to what the craft beer industry is at this point in time.
Now, Amanda, you are mainly kind of like on the road podcasting, is that right? Or maybe I just assumed that because I saw you in that gear with your little, you know, kind of, I don't even know what to call it, like this little like coat thing, strappy thing that had your podcast there. Like you looked like you were used to kind of being on the road with your mic and talking to people live. Is that usually what your show consists of?
Yeah, I actually do what I call podcasting in the wild. I go to where my people are. We have a number of different types of shows. And sometimes I go and I sit in the middle of a hot field for an hour and I talk to somebody. Sometimes I go to breweries or bars. And we actually, you know, spread out and we get comfortable and we have a couple beers. And then there's also what you saw. I like to call it my podcasting harness. It's yes. For a really great opening conversation when you're like, yes, this is my leather harness. But it's very tasteful, I think, even though it is very much a harness, which is kind of crazy
hilarious
to think about. But I go and I'll do kind of like, is it called vox popping or something? Is that like a real term?
I don't know. I've heard it. You could call it whatever you want.
I just kind of go on this, you know, go on the fly, and I just go into some breweries and get people's information. You said mainly out in the wild, and yeah, I'm from Maine. That's where we are located. I would say about 95% of our content comes from Maine, just because there's a huge booming industry for beer here in the state, and also living here puts me really close to a lot of that, so it's a lot easier. But I do take my equipment everywhere I go.
What she's trying to say is there's a lot of drunks in Maine. That's what she's trying to say. is that if you're going to look for drunks, Maine's a good place to start.
There used to be, actually.
So do you interview them before or after they've
a lot of...
drank a lot? Before or after?
So actually, the craft beer industry isn't quite like that. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that do drink to excess, but it's more about the artisanal aspects of it and actually the flavors and, you know, supporting local. So way back before Prohibition, Maine was literally filled with drunks, and we started Prohibition, and we are really sorry that we did that. So we're trying to make it up by providing quality beers, and it's really less about drinking so much to get drunk and more about, you know, you can learn so much about somebody when you sit down and you talk to them. And a normal conversation in a beer event is you first start by saying, what are you drinking? And, you know, it's a great opening to be able to start talking, and you talk about the beer, but then it goes bigger than that. It's more about people's lives and stories and, you know, all about who they are.
I love that. I think it's such a great opener into some amazing conversations. That is so cool. Amanda, where can people find out more about your podcast?
Go to greatbeeradventure.com. I try to keep it pretty easy.
Woo! Now, Glenn.
Yes, now we have the horse person question. The non-horse person question is, what is lunging? What is lunging?
As a non-horse person, I would say that it's something that I don't do nearly enough, and they used to try to make me do it in gym class.
Well, that kind of actually works for the horse world, too. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.
Okay.
Bye. It's a greatbeeradventure.com. She is a trip. She's a lot of fun. By the way, the harness would be approved by horse people because it kind of looked like actually they modified some horse parts to make the harness. So that's what it kind of looked like. All right. Next up, we are heading over to Karen with a Creative Approach podcast. Two more to go.
Karen, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning. There, my voice just went. How are you, Glenn and Katie? Lovely to talk to you this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Karen, tell us a little bit about a Creative Approach podcast.
Well, I, like most podcasters, talk to people, and I try and get their stories about how they're using creativity to their advantage, whether at home or in business, and also by working through some challenges with a creative approach. And I just love storytelling, and it's a way to connect with people. And I hope my guests and listeners enjoyed the experience of being on the show and listening to the show.
Now, creativity is like this massive thing. So like, is there a certain element of creativity that you guys usually talk about, or a certain sort of starting point that kind of, you know, brings everyone into the conversation?
I just try and find out about people's lives and how they got to where they are, and then find out what creativity means to them, because there is sort of an individual amount of thinking about what creativity is to a person. But sure, I talk to fine artists, I talk to business people, I talk to physicians, people who are concerned about the environment. The show is a little bit wide-reaching when it comes to creativity, because creativity is part of all our lives.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go like super, super in-depth here. How have you been creative with your show? As a creative podcast who is done by a creative person, what kind of cool creative things have you done with your podcast?
Well, I think the main thing with my podcast is just trying to find a variety of interesting guests. I've had actresses and artists and photographers and knitters, and just trying to find a nice mix of people that people might not necessarily say, that's what creativity is about. You know, I think people think, oh, fine art or something, or crafting. And I like to include everything.
Yeah, I love that. Now, how long have you been doing your show?
My show just started in December, so not a long time on this show. Ooh. I did have a show on, I was a co-host on a digital scrapbook site for a while, but then when that ended, I decided I wanted to keep talking to people and being part of the podcast world.
Digital scrapbooks? So it was a whole podcast talking about scrapbooking?
Of course.
Now that is interesting. That is a concept.
Yeah, that's a concept.
Yeah, that's a concept that I feel is so interesting, much like I can't even believe that there are podcasts about photography, like podcasts about very visual mediums, just like scrapbooking, but you're speaking it. And there's a huge audience for that, right?
Oh yeah. Well, there's a lot of visual artists that I talk to, and certainly on, I think it was episode 2 I was talking with Cheryl Ashcraft, who's a digital scrapbooker and creates templates to make it easier for people to do. So if you want to tell your story, that's one episode for sure to listen to if you're interested in that area.
I feel that's so interesting. Glenn, have you ever scrapbooked?
No, but I actually, my stepmother-in-law scrapbooks all the time. She has hundreds of them. So, and people that are into it are really, really
into
it.
Really?
Yeah, really? Yes, that's right.
They like are rabid really, really fans.
But, you know, Facebook is a form of digital scrapbooking.
It is.
In my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. It is.
You tell your story, you have pictures.
I've never thought about that. That's so true.
Well, Karen.
I mean, we don't really think about creativity.
Karen can be found at.
We don't think of creativity all the time.
A creative approach podcast.
Creative approach podcast,
right? That's what they search for?
A creativeapproachpodcast.com. Yeah.
Okay, good. Cool. Now, I got to ask you the non-horse person question before we let you go. And in the horse world, what is founder?
Oh my goodness. Founder. Some kind of, it makes me think of history of I don't know, a horse line that was established. I'm not sure.
Well, that could
That's
work.
Weird. I don't know.
we'll go with that.
I have no
Thank
idea.
You, Karen.
No idea. Thank right. you.
Thanks
Karen.
And all of these guests are going away going, I got to look that up. I don't know.
They're like mind blown. Like, I don't know what I just experienced.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm on this show.
I feel wrong. I need to take a shower.
I'm never coming back. That's exactly what they're saying. All right. So one more. We're saving the best for last. And I feel like we can't do an episode like this where we have 10 shows about different kinds of podcasts without having one that fits my age demographic. And that is Joni from Damn the Torpedoes Aging Podcast coming up.
Joni, what's up? That intro will get your toe tapping. I like it. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you. And thank you for the kind words. You saved the best for last. You're so cute, Glenn.
He's sucking up all day long.
Hey, I'm going to be 55 in a month, so I'm right there with you.
You got your cane up there?
I think you're too young for my podcast.
Too young for something. That's good.
Damn the Torpedoes Aging Podcast. Joni, tell us a little bit about what that's all about.
You know, it's really all about having a youthful attitude as you get older. I'm going to be 66 next month, and my husband is 69, and we are just not slowing down in any way, shape, or form, and that's really what I want to try and inspire people in their 50s, 60s, whatever, to do, is just keep going. You know, get that glass half full attitude in many different ways.
Dude, that is, you just described my parents. They are exactly like my mom's 66, my dad's 67. And they, when people comment about how much energy I have, I'm like, dude, you should see my parents. Like, they're like off the charts. They are not slowing down.
You know, and I love that because I watched my mom get into kind of, she had hurt her hip and then she just kind of quit walking in her, I think it was her late 70s. And one of the podcasts, I said, listen, you have to get out and walk every day. I don't care. Get out and walk every single day. And it was interesting listening to Karen because the one that's going up on Thursday, on Friday morning is all about creativity, because I found research that said that your physical health will improve if you create some form of art, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I actually used to work for the Alzheimer's Association back in the day, and there's a whole art program that they have for seniors who are aging, so that they, for Alzheimer's patients specifically, because they could remember things via art that they can't necessarily remember via words. And so it allows their mind to still be super creative in that space. Pretty interesting.
Yep.
Jennifer, well, get my paintbrushes out.
This particular article said that people with HIV, they got them writing, and that their whatever blood cell count needed to go up went up or down or whatever, but it was helping their physical health to do writing. I love it.
You know, my parents were the kind that retired and did opposite of Katie's. They, you know, they just did nothing, and we were trying to get them to do something. And they, and I'll tell you, one of the biggest culprits, at least they can use it as an excuse, is if they have a pet, then they can never leave the house because of the pet. It's one of the biggest excuses, right? And Joni, you've seen it all the time. But then they had their best friends, and my parents died in their 70s. Then they had their best friends who got into shuffleboard and actually became shuffleboard champions and traveled the world. They're in their late 80s. And still going strong and still playing shuffleboard. So there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, my dad passed away last April, 10 days shy of his 100th birthday.
Wow.
And literally until about a month or so before he passed away, he was on a stationary bike every day for an hour.
Wow.
Wow. Go dad.
Yeah, anyway.
I kid you not, you know?
What's the thing
I will
that...
tell you also that I did do... I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask you, is it, are people, are seniors more active today than they were before? Or is it the other way? Or is it always about the same?
It's possible that they're more active today because I think we have the whole baby boomer generation that is coming into their 60s, like Katie's parents. And I think there is a little bit of a different viewpoint in terms of exercise and health and nutrition. Versus just going, you know, to see doctors every time you have an ache or a pain.
Yeah.
That's my thought anyway.
Interesting.
I was going to say, though, I will tell you that I did do one particular podcast that might be considered frivolous because I was talking about fashion for senior ladies.
Ooh, nice.
Well, they still spend money, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about what I'm passionate about, and it's going to vary from week to week, but it's really all about having that glass half full attitude no matter what age you are.
Well, I've seen Joni a couple times, and she is always dressed up, so I can see why that would be a topic you're passionate about.
Absolutely.
And your husband wanted me to talk to you about
it. Too. Yeah,
your husband wanted me to talk about that and cutting up your credit cards, but that's next. That's a different show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, he's not listening because he had to leave the house, but I guarantee he's going to like that.
Yeah, you know what? This is a podcast. He can listen later. We'll make sure he does. Joni, where can people find Damn Their Torpedoes Aging?
Well, I'm on iTunes. You do have to search for Damn the Torpedoes Aging. And so I took that really long URL and made it tinyurl.com/DTTAgingPodcast.
Okay, very good. And we'll put a link to that.
And the next time we talk, I'll have a website.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll put a link to it in our show notes. We'll have links to all of these different shows. I got one question for you. This is the Ask a Non-Horse Person question. What is a stifle?
Okay.
What is a stifle?
Stifle. Maybe a medical device for something wrong with a horse?
Well, that could work.
You don't tell us the answer.
I thought...
Not even close. That, good try.
That could work. You know what I thought the answer was going to be? My husband. What is a stifle?
Oh.
That'd have been a good answer, actually. All right. Thank you, Joni.
Hi, Joni.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Katie. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
They hate it when we don't tell them the answers. That's it. That's the most fun part of this game we play with non-horse people, actually. It's because we know the answers and you don't. Well, Katie, this has been a whole lot of fun and you're a joy to work with.
Thanks, Glenn. And now I have an entirely new respect for all of your co-hosts. So much love to you all.
Jamie thought I was trying to replace you, by the way, or replace her.
No, Jamie. He's all yours. How about? No, this was a lot of fun. You and Jen, Jamie, you guys run such an awesome show. And I'm just so, so happy I could be a part of it.
Well, let's give a plug out for another one of my favorite podcasts. He just doesn't do them enough. And that's Your Husband's.
Yeah, he's got a couple of podcasts.
He does?
Yeah, he does. He has Story Jam Theater.
Yeah, that's the one I love. Story Jam Theater. Yeah.
So, these are like kind of in the moment, real live stories that are told, like, 5 to 7 minute stories about whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, in front of an audience. But then he actually also did and created the podcast about the podcast documentary that he is creating. So, there's a podcast about that. And our friend Dave Jackson is the one that narrates it and puts it all together. So it's very interesting to hear the behind the scenes of how the Messengers documentary, which is a podcast documentary, how that got made.
And we talked about that a lot on the show here. And of course, they've been in the studio with us, and Dave and Neil and Chris and everybody's been in the studio over the time. We did a screening of it at PodFest. Everybody was all dressed up. It was so much fun. And then you guys are doing the actual premiere, and I can't make it. I'm going to be at Road to the Horse in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm so bummed.
No, you're not forgiven. There's just no excuse for you not to be here. You are part of this premiere. So yeah, the entire movie is premiering at the Tampa Theater, which is going to be amazing on Wednesday.
That's one of the old-timey theaters? Is that?
No, it's not. I mean, it's 1,400 people that can fit in there. It's one of those that was made in downtown in the 1920s.
Yeah, that's what I mean, old-timey. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's beautiful, and so they are featuring it there, and it's going to be fantastic. So if you're listening and you want to come on down. Just go to Tampa Theater's website, and you can go get tickets for that. It's going to be amazing.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and that's next Wednesday night?
Next Wednesday, the 22nd.
And the whole movie, you'll get to see the whole thing, and yes, we are in it. I will say that Horses in the Morning Show is in it and provides a little comic relief along the way.
Yeah, that's one way of
saying it. Jamie is going to be so proud of her part in that movie. She is just...
You are represented well, girl. Represented well.
Yeah, she's... She's going to kill me, actually.
I know.
I didn't edit the movie. Not my fault. And there might be a little scene in there. Please tell me they left the scene with Neil and I in the movie.
I'm pretty sure that they did, although I'm not privileged to see all the behind the scenes, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that they did.
Yeah, because that was the thing we got the most comments about, actually, after the movie. And Neil just threw that in. It wasn't even going to be part of the movie, but it was funny. Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you so much. Where can they find you, Katie?
They can find me at bizwomenrock.com.
And of course, we are here Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern. Of course, most people still listen to the recorded version. You can just search for Horses in the Morning at any of your favorite podcast places. Plus, we have our own app. It's the simplest, easiest way to listen to all 13 shows on the Horse Radio Network, all 70 episodes a month. Just search for Horse Radio Network in iOS or Android, and you'll find us in there. And it's very simple and easy to listen. All the past episodes of Horses in the Morning can be found at horsesinthemorning.com. We'll be back tomorrow with our trail riding episode. And then on Friday, we have a special guest host, and it's one of our auditors. One of our listeners is going to be filling in. Kayla Mueller is going to be here in the studio filling in for Jamie. So it's going to be fun having a listener actually as a co-host on Friday, which means we need some really bad ads. Get them in right now to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Head off the Craigslist. You'll just find bad ads in there and just send them to Jennifer, and we'll have some fun with them on Friday. Thanks a bunch, Katie.
Thanks, Glenn. Loved being here.